today on Real Radio.
It's mine. It's mine. Get away. It's all mine. And if you're a Christian full of the Holy Spirit, you can't be like that. You see your brother in need, you want to help him. You do everything you can to help him. The early church was like that, and it was a beautiful place.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Sin Within the Camp, continues a series now called The Book of Acts. The New Testament Book of Acts was written by Luke, who also gave us the Gospel of Luke. The Book of Acts is the story of the first Christian church. It records the acts of the apostles of Jesus, who were filled with the Holy Spirit and sent into ministry, not only in Jerusalem, but in Judea, Samaria, and throughout the known world. In chapter 4 of the book of Acts, in verses 23 through 31, we learned the three basic ingredients of having a church, Jesus style. A church needs to pray as they prepare for any situation that arises. A church needs the Word of God for spiritual understanding and growth. And a church that prays and studies God's Word together will stand united in their faith. Now, in Acts 4:32 through 5:11, we'll see how sin, if allowed to continue, can destroy a church from within. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that the first century church was of one heart and one soul and shared their possessions with one another. But the oneness is soon broken when Ananias and Sapphira hold back a portion of their offering and lie to the apostles about the true amount. And now, in his lesson called Sin Within the Camp, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The greatest robber of power in your life and in the life of the church this morning is sin. Sin within the camp in the church corporately weakens the body. Sin originates within the heart of the individual first before it's ever exposed or revealed or infects the body of Christ in a general whole. If you are backsliding this morning, you may think that this is your own private little thing. After all, I've walked with God for a while. I need a break. I'm going to live life for myself for a moment. I'm going to enjoy myself. You know, you can't do that without messing up my walk. You can't do it without messing up Chuck's walk or Lauren's walk or John's walk or Mike's walk or Karen's walk or my walk. You're in the body of Christ. Sin will rob you of power, and when you're weakened, you hinder our growth. We're all connected together. You know, in football, remember those crazy days? The coach would tell you, well, we're only as strong as our weakest link. And that always seems like a bunch of baloney until you're doing your job, but the guy at the other end lets down his guard. And they run around that end and they score. And the whole team loses. This morning we come to a portion of Scripture where the church has been dynamic. The church has been influential. The church has been powerful. The church has been preaching the Word uncompromisingly so. Peter has been an awesome pastor. But with church growth, my goodness, we've seen now 5,000 added to the church that had already been. There's thousands of people in the church over a couple of months' period of time. Growth, church growth, is from God. But there's a responsibility and there's a detriment to church growth. And we'll see that this morning. Last time in our study, we saw the dynamics of the church as it was going forth in power. We saw that prayer went in front of the church last time together. We saw that the Word of God was behind the church. We saw that the church was operating in unity inside of itself. But wherever these three basic essential ingredients are present in a church, you'll experience spiritual growth, which means change, and none of us like that exactly. It hurts. Whenever these things are present, you'll see personal development, that is opportunity to minister. Isn't that awesome? Some of you are ministering now and you've never ministered before in your life. That's growth. And then we'll see emotional independence. You'll be strong in the Word of God, strong in faith, strong in prayer, and you'll be freed from the emotional demands of life. Growth will be certain as we mimic the pattern of the early church. But we need to be careful also as growth comes along that things don't creep in. Jesus promised us in Matthew chapter 13 concerning growth. He talked about the church as being a mustard seed. He said the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed which a man sows in a field. And indeed it is the least of seeds, but when it is grown, it is greater than all the herbs and becomes like a tree. No, it doesn't. Jesus is talking about something abnormal. Humongous growth. So that the birds of the air begin to lodge in its branches. And that's an evil connotation in the Greek. When the church gets big, birds fly into the branches. And I don't know if you've ever parked your car underneath a tree, but you know what Jesus is talking about. The church is to be healthy and to be whole. And it is, and it was in this beautiful portion of Scripture. But as growth comes, it's easier for loony birds and goony birds and weird ducks and all kinds of things to come and lodge in the branches. Let's look right now in chapter 4, picking up in verse 32. It says, now the multitude of those who believed were of, listen, one heart and of one soul, and neither did any say that any of these things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, you ought to circle that in your Bible, great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace, you ought to circle that, was upon them all. Favor was given by God. The word in the Greek, one heart, first of all, it is a singular cardia in the Greek. It's where we get the word cardiology or cardiac. One cardia. They had the same feelings. The word means feelings. They were feeling the same thing. They felt the same way. When they looked at somebody in a compassionate way, they all had the same compassion. When they looked at somebody who was sinning and rebellious, they all looked at him with the same discernment. They had the same feelings. A body brought together. Isn't that a beautiful thought? And it says that they had one soul. Psuche in the Greek. Psych. Psychology. Psyche is where we get that word, and the word means mind. They were of one feeling and of one thought, one mind. What a beautiful church. You know why they're like that? They had been born again. They were born again by the Spirit of God, and they had the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would be in you and that He would be upon you. They were absolutely born again. The word born again means born from above. They were governed by God. They had all become Israel's, so to speak. But it says in verse 32 that they had all things in common. And this sets up a very serious situation. The word having all things in common. Common is the word, its root is the word koinonia, which means fellowship. To have a partnership or a communion, or to exchange, or to have, literally the word means intercourse. To be so close and so tight, to be so one, that they were so intimate with one another in the spiritual things and also in physical things, and that they blessed one another with things. Now look, it says, now the multitude of those that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of these things that he possessed was his own. They didn't sell everything they had and owned nothing, but what they did have, they shared. Are you with me? They shared, and they sold certain things to help out the body that was in need. But they had all these things in common. Isn't that a beautiful attitude? When they were driving their donkey down the street, somebody wanted to borrow their donkey. Well, sure, it's the Lord's donkey. Sure, you know, sure, you can borrow it. And they were free with that. They didn't hang on to it. Saturday morning, again, you think this is probably the only commentary I read, but I was watching the Bugs Bunny Hour. And again, maybe you saw it. those of you who are spiritual. What happened? Bugs Bunny finds a lamp, and Daffy steals that lamp, rubs it, and out comes the genie. He begins to slap this genie around and demand that this genie serve him. Gets all this wealth, and he's hanging on to it, screaming, "It's mine! It's mine! Get away! It's all mine!" And if you're a Christian full of the Holy Spirit, you can't be like that. You see your brother in need, you want to help him. You do everything you can to help him. The early church was like that, and it was a beautiful place. It was so unlike the world, unselfish and giving. They had koinonia. By the way, this is the model of true communism, by the way. Are you aware of that? And of course, I don't mean the barbaric forced communism of man's dictatorship, but I mean the communing-ism of God's lordship, of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, the fruits of the Spirit. Communism. It's not a forced thing. God was moving in the church like God is moving in some of your hearts, and you want to give. Do you love being around people like that? They're just exploding. They love God. God's real to them. They're experiencing God, and they're just oozing God. And you said, "How you doing?" And he just, God on you. You squeeze them, and you get wet from being near them because they're full of the rivers of living water. They're wonderful to be around. They're giving people. They're loving people. The early church was like that in totality, and the world stood back. In fact, ancient historians write at this time about the church that there's a lot of things that we disagree with concerning them, but one thing cannot be denied, and that is their love for one another. Wouldn't that be a great rumor to have spread about you? Lisa and I had the experience, and maybe some of you know where this is, of being living in a place called Gospel Gulch in Costa Mesa. That's the actual name of the place. It's about 1,000 condominiums or fourplexes that have been put together, and it's all Christian. I mean, it's like 99.9% Christian. And it's right across the street from Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. So on Sunday mornings and Thursday nights and Monday nights and Tuesday nights, Wednesday nights and Saturday nights and Friday nights, it looks like a resurrection because people come out of their doors with Bibles and begin to walk towards Calvary, Costa Mesa. And the traffic slows down and there's people crossing the road and it's weird. But it was awesome. And as I was preparing this message, God reminded me of Gospel Gulch, where we spent so many years. And I don't know if you're going to understand this exactly. Please don't think I'm totally weird. But we had established, God had established a relationship with so many people there that we had all things in common. We all had keys to others' houses. If I didn't have Tabasco sauce for my scrambled eggs, I could go next door to Richard's and get it right out of his refrigerator. And if I didn't do it, he was offended that I didn't do that. If he needed a chair from our dining room table, he would come and get it. And then Joan would come from across the street. And Steve downstairs and up front. And then Vic, who was the next street over. And then Richard could come over and get olives because he's Italian and he had to have the olives. And if he didn't have them, he could come and he'd turn the key and walk in. And all of this community of love. And I didn't know who had come in my house and who had gone out of my house. It didn't matter. But you know what's funny? Every time somebody borrowed a thing of ketchup, there was two the next day in there. And there were times when nobody knew that we were in need, but there'd be $50 on the dining room table. It was everything common, everything together. And tonight, today, we go home, we press our electric garage door opener, drive our car in, shut the door, go through the door into the house, and we're like, secret. And nobody knows who lives in there. But we had the chance to come from a community that shared everything. And what's awesome is that the people I just mentioned, we're still friends. 15 years ago, we're still friends. And every one of the people I just mentioned are in ministry in some way, shape, or form. You have to let down your guard, so to speak. But when God is present, you can have things in common. This church is getting larger every day. But we have to be careful against the attitudes of growth. Not growth itself, but the attitudes. Well, we're big, so that means I have to close my arms and be quiet. No, it doesn't. You don't see me doing it, do you? Well, I don't know anybody here anymore. I look out, especially second, third service is packed, and I don't recognize half the faces anymore. And it really bums me out. But that's God saying to me, why don't you get off your rear end and go shake some hands and make it a point to greet people you don't know. The Holy Spirit was moving. Now he's moving here. We need to be careful that we let him move. Let down your guard and be one with the person next to you. It's okay. The Holy Spirit desires that. And then verse 33, it says, and with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection, preaching that message, resurrection, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or of houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold. Now, don't misunderstand that. It doesn't mean they all sold everything and became poverty stricken, exactly. They all sold things as it was in need, or as the need was, and distributed among them. And laid them, verse 35, at the apostles' feet. And they distributed to each as one had a need. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas. This is the first introduction of Barnabas. You're going to hear a lot about this wonderful man of God that all of us need to be more like. Called Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement. What a guy. A Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Did somebody tell him to do it? No. He's the son of encouragement. Now you might say, well, he's a Levite. He wasn't supposed to own land. Ah, you're right. But the land's in Cyprus. That means it's okay. He sells that land. And he gives it to the needy. There's no doubt that people went, ooh, you know, kind of a little golfer's clap. Good move, Barnabas. That was awesome. Praise the Lord, Barnabas. That is cool. No doubt people said, gosh, that's great. Praise the living God. Well, there were two people watching that named Ananias and Sapphira. And they wanted one of those little golfer's clap. They wanted a little acclaim. They wanted a little kick from all of this. And you see what's happening? And you know what? This is a real bummer, you guys, because this is the last time the church is this pure as right now. And it's kind of gone downhill ever since. In a great move of love unto Jesus and unto the fellow men, what does Satan do? He enters in to the scene. Verse 1, chapter 5, we see here the world in the church. The world in the church. The chapter opens up. By the way, remember, there's no chapter break, so we need to keep going. In fact, let's just do that. Look at verse 37 again. Having land, sold it, brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet, but a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. They saw that, they went out and sold a possession. By the way, it's part of their wealth. And now the world begins to creep into the church. But a certain man named Ananias, his name means God of grace, or God is gracious. And Sapphira comes from the word sapphire. Her name means beautiful. Or babe, maybe today. She was good looking. And you got to see these guys, Ananias and Sapphira. They got bucks, man. They got their robes, they got their rings. She's beautiful. He's powerful. He's got all the wealth. And they're in the family of God. Sounds like some of you might want to have come to church, huh? Gee, are they tithers? Don't upset them. They're big givers, you know. You think that's Peter's attitude? The word but in your Bible, you should circle it. In the Greek, it literally means an expression of contrast or decay. With all this neat stuff that's going on, there is this event of decay and of contrast to what Barnabas just did. And this was a real visual dilemma. Him being wealthy, successful in business, known and respected in Jerusalem, history tells us. Her being beautiful, a wife who spends the wealth, no doubt, known at all the respected stores, perhaps. They're movers and shakers, and Satan begins to attack the church now from within. Last week it was persecution from outside. Now it's attack from within. Satan will attack this church and any church, your church, first with one person, then two people, and then a few. And then if it's not dealt with, it will destroy church. And you hear of things called church splits because of situations much like this. But it says in verse 2, and he kept back. He withheld part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it. So they were in agreement, and brought a certain part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, Pastor Peter, listen to this. Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? You have conceived this thing in your heart. You have not lied to men, but to God. A couple things we need to point out. This is sin that is energized by Satan when it comes into the church. Satan's always behind the sin. Peter looks at these guys. He doesn't care how much money they have. Man, there's Ananias standing there. Hello, Peter. He's got his Jordache robe on, his Rolex sundial on his wrist. Hello, Peter. Successful, powerful man. What does Peter say? Nice day. Won't you have a seat up front? He says, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart? What might you mean? God works through Peter with what is known as the gift of the word of knowledge or discernment. Peter knows what has happened by God's revelation to him. I don't like saying this. It scares me to say this. But God talks to pastors, I think, who care. He only does that not because of who they are, but because of the position he's put them in. Did you get that? God talks to ministers because of the position, not necessarily who they are. God honors the position.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Sin Within the Camp. Thank you for listening, and a true, loving, praying, and serving church will put a stop to the sin that robs it of its purity and power. Sin Within the Camp is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit, and will continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Here at Real Radio, we know how important it is to have a daily devotional life with the Lord. So Pastor Jack is offering devotions once a week that you can access by downloading the Real Life app on your smartphone or tablet. The Real Life app also gives you a variety of resources at your fingertips, including the Real Life TV broadcast and the Real Radio daily audio broadcast. And that includes previous episodes, by the way. So check out the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.